In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, every 7 or so years, Sunday happens to fall on the 1st of January, and along with it falling, so does attendance. We were having a little sweep behind the scenes earlier. Our lowball offer was 40 people. I think we've broken that. Mother Paula, ever the optimist, went for 80. We're not quite there yet, but if the ushers could go grab a few people off the streets, we'll be good. And to you, faithful brothers and sisters of St. Francis, welcome and happy New Year. I hope that everyone had a wonderful Christmas, or at least you found some peace and comfort in this time of celebrating the birth of the Savior. And as 2017 is upon us, I hope and pray that each of us has a blessed year. And for those of you who have made New Year's resolutions, I hope they're still going well. And for those of you who haven't made New Year's resolutions, I've got one for you in a few minutes' time. Now, New Year is not a day that we actually think of as being a feast day in the church calendar. We celebrate the church's New Year the first Sunday of Advent, and then we have Advent, and then we have Christmas. And then the next thing to roll around is Epiphany on the 6th of January. And if we have a Sunday or two between, we just call them the first and second Sundays after Christmas, no big deal. And New Year's doesn't get a look in. But actually, this day, 1st of January, 8 days after Christmas, is an important feast. It's the Feast of the Holy Name. This is the day we celebrate Mary and Joseph in their obedience to God, naming their child Jesus. Jesus meaning Savior or Deliverer. This is the day, 8 days after his birth, when the world first heard his name, where God's plan starts to be revealed. When the idea that God will send a son, a savior, to save mankind starts to become real. This is the day when God, through Mary and Joseph, put a name to what's actually going on. Now, names are important. Our own names are important to us. That original self-help guru, Dale Carnegie, once said that the sweetest word in the English language to any person is that person's name. And I can attest to this. Something strange happens to me when I go to Starbucks. Now, I'm a regular at Starbucks, so a lot of the time I walk in and they go, "Hi, Pete, here's your coffee." But when I go to a store that's not familiar or there's somebody new, and I place my order, and then they will ask for my name. Now, interestingly, I don't know if you noticed this, they don't actually ask for your name. They say, "Can I have a name? Can I have a name for the cup? You're going to name the cup." Well, I always give them my name, and I say, "Pete," or "Peter." And I swear, 1 in 5 times this happens, they go, "Great, coffee's on its way, Steve." And it's always Steve. I don't know. Now, I don't have anything against Steve's, and I usually get my coffee just fine, but there's something slightly weird about this experience. I know it's my coffee. It tastes like it always does. But somehow that name, Steve, changes my relationship with that particular cup of coffee. It's not my rightful cup of Joe. It doesn't fully belong to me. Now, perhaps you don't have this problem, either in getting your name wrong or reacting in this particular way, but, and maybe I'm being a little oversensitive, but I do think each of us has those moments when someone gets our name wrong and we can get a little prickly about it. And I don't think, as Dale Carnegie thought, that it's all about ego. I think this thing about names is, names are important. Names are who we are. If someone gets your name wrong, it's not just because they've slighted you. They're not talking to you. Your name represents you. Names are important. They're more than labels. And thus the name Jesus is more than a label. It's more than something that we can, you know, we use to make sure that God knows that we're talking to the right person. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are directly addressing the divine nature, the will, the character, the purpose of God. It's through Jesus' name that we truly connect with him. We pray in the name of Jesus. We end our supplications with words such as, all this we ask in the name of Jesus. We pray to his holy name and in that way connect with his power and goodness. And that's what makes today an important feast. There's another way we're connected to the name of Jesus, and that's through our baptism. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and brought into relationship with God through Jesus. And we do this in exactly the same moment that we ourselves are named. We are named in the name of Jesus and inextricably linked to his divine nature, will, character, and purpose. It's an amazing gift. And it's a gift that should raise the question, well, how do we react? Well, Paul in Galatians, now reading from Galatians, actually gives us a great way of thinking about this. The passage from Galatians contains the following words, "So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God." No longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, also an heir. Well, our response to the first part, no longer being a slave but a child, we should simply feel blessed and continue to remind ourselves that however much we may feel ourselves slaves to our jobs, to our work, to our circumstances, to whatever, we are, in the name of Jesus, not slaves, but children. And our reaction to the news that we are not just children, but are heirs, heirs to God's kingdom, should not only make us feel doubly blessed, but obligated to continue, as it were, the family tradition of blessing. And that brings us back to our secular 1st of January New Year and New Year's resolutions. So it's not too late to make a New Year's resolution. So let's make one more this morning as we start the year of our Lord 2017. We're blessed to be children and heirs, so let's resolve today to pass that blessing along. And I mean blessing. Sometimes when we talk about blessing, we usually mean giving assent to something. I might say to you, you know, my wife, husband, partner wanted to spend $500 on a new coat, and I gave them my blessing. Now, what you hear me saying is the word blessing, but what you hear me doing is kind of going, begrudgingly agreeing to this $500 outlay. It's not really a blessing. But imagine instead if my reaction was, a new coat. That's a great idea. You'd look fabulous in a new coat. You should absolutely go and buy one. You should go out shopping immediately. Would you like me to come along? Perhaps you should spend $750. Now that's a blessing. But that kind of blessing gets expensive very quickly. So we need to pass on blessings and get beyond assent and permission and use a prayer to pray our blessings on others, our friends, our acquaintances, our enemies. And if you need a good example to take away today for your New Year's resolution, there's this wonderful passage in Numbers that I'm sure most of you are familiar with. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm sorry, I butchered that slightly. But it's three lines, 33 words, six blessings, and I think it can give you powerful results. So as we start out the year of 2017, perhaps we can resolve to use this as a guide to how we interact with others, family, friends, acquaintances, strangers. Rather than just begrudgingly give our assent, which sometimes feels like giving in. Oh, yeah, go spend the $500. Oh, yeah, cut in front of me. You have my blessing. Let's reach out and pray these or some other words and positively bless the other. Now, I'm not saying that keeping this resolution will be easy, because keeping any New Year's resolution is not easy. But it's worth trying. So let's go forth today, and may we each have a blessed and blessing New Year. Amen.